starting this weekend, people around the country can experience something they probably never have before. When was the last time you heard Grandmom singing this?
Darling, you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you'll be mine, I'll be yours till the end of time. But you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
That's Should I Stay or Should I Go, a song written by punk rockers The Clash, but newly redone by the Young at Heart Chorus. The Chorus is a group of seniors aged 72 to 88 who sing a variety of modern rock and pop songs. Led by Bob Sillman, the group has toured the United States and Europe to great acclaim. It was at one of those shows that film director Stephen Walker became interested in the group. The resulting documentary was lauded at Sundance and opened the Philadelphia Film Festival. This weekend, it finds its way into movie theaters across the country. When a few of the Chorus members, filmmakers Stephen Walker and Bob Sillman, stopped by our studios, I asked Sillman whether he was there when the group first began.
Yes, I was there. It was 1982 in Northampton, Mass. And, you know, I got a job working a meal site for the elderly. It was a very simple job, but it paid some money, and I needed money, and it had health benefits, so that was good. And after 3 months, a woman just came up to me and said, "I can play the piano. Do you think you can get some people together for a sing-along?" And we put up little notices around the meal site, and we were really shocked that, you know, 25 people showed up, and 25 really interesting people showed up. And I didn't direct it at first. At first, they were being directed by somebody else. But it, you know, it wasn't going that great because she wasn't connecting to them as people. You know, she thought of them as almost like kids in a way, and it was they didn't really like being treated that way. So they really there was sort of a rebellion in a way, and I remember our very first gig was about 4 months in, and the person quit the day of the show, and I had to take over, and they really sounded horrible. It was very scary, and we went and we sang, and people were nodding out. It was one of those seriously bad moments that you might have. But we had this one woman who was like 88 at the time, Anna Main, and she told these incredibly filthy jokes, but she could get away with it somehow. And we just put her out there, and she went for 20 minutes, and you could see these people waking up, and it was like the sunrise almost. It was amazing. So we sort of got the sense that there was something more that we had to do than just sort of, you know, butcher songs. So
Stephen Walker is the director of the film, and he's with us here as well. What was your first exposure to the Chorus?
When I first saw them in London about 2.5 years ago, they actually have a real presence in Europe and actually elsewhere in the world too. And they do lots and lots of tours to Europe. I actually at the time didn't know about them when they first came to London. But it was actually my wife, who's also the producer of the film, who came home one day and said, "I've got a couple of tickets to a show called the Young at Heart Chorus." The show was called actually Road to Nowhere after the Talking Heads song. And shall we go? And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, it's a show with a group of American seniors, aged between 73 and 92, who sing rock music." And I was initially a little skeptical because I wasn't quite sure what I was going to be exposed to. You know, I didn't know what this was going to be like. But she said, "Look, keep an open mind. Let's go along. Let's see what it's like." And we went. And we found ourselves in this incredibly sort of packed theater full of every age group you can think of, and went in there and watch this show, Road to Nowhere, which is a kind of a theatrical piece that they do with some fantastic pieces of music in it. And we were just completely blown away. I mean, I thought the music was incredible. I mean, I think the thing that really got to me most of all, sort of two things. One was that the music was great. I mean, their voices were great. And it was just so interesting to hear people of that age sing well. And perhaps that was me with kind of stereotypes stuck in my head that thought that perhaps, you know, it wasn't going to be like that. And also the lyrics suddenly changed their meanings, you know, completely. When somebody of 93 sings Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash, it starts to become a totally different meaning from the original.
Have you had reactions to the songs? That was one of the things that struck me, obviously, and I guess strikes most people when they hear the chorus. Have you had reactions from the songwriters as to how it has changed their thinking about the songs in any way?
Well, I mean, I think Bob probably is the best person to answer that because you have had some slight connection, haven't you?
We've had some. I don't think that any of them expressed any sense that the way we did it changed their thinking of the song. I mean, that would be asking for a lot.
Right. But,
we do know that some of them are aware of the song. I know that the Sonic Youth people are very aware of our version of Schizophrenia. And when I saw them in concert recently, they dedicated the song to us, which was kind of a nice thing. And it said something to us. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask also, it was interesting to hear Stephen's reaction to seeing the chorus, but I was wondering what your reaction was when he approached you about doing a film.
Well, it wasn't anything we really wanted to do at the time. You know, we had just worked really hard on getting this piece together, this theater piece together for London, and we just had a 12-show run. It was getting great reviews, and, you know, that's where our head was at, and we weren't really thinking film. But we had worked really hard on that show for just about a year straight, and we were going to be taking some time to learn new music. So I was intrigued by the idea of filming that part of the process where we just take a song and get it to the point where we can put it in front of people. Not the theater work, but simply putting it in front of a concert audience. And and we also were interested in the idea of music videos because that seemed like something that was, you know, an interesting angle to play on this that we've never done before. You know, you see so many young people in video, especially music videos, and it's rare that you see old people in them. And so that intrigued me. And Stephen and Sally were really persistent. They really wanted to do this thing. And there was a lot of, you know, give and take about whether we could do it or whether we couldn't do it. But, you know, ultimately they pushed all the right buttons.
Much is made about how the film, the focus of the film, changed as you went along with a couple members of the chorus who had come back and one rather suddenly passed away. Mm-hmm. Was there discussion about changing the focus at the time? Stephen, did you feel strongly that made sense?
I'm not sure changing the focus. I mean, obviously, it was incredibly unexpected. It was unexpected in both cases, and it happened in both cases about a week or so before this big concert. I mean, basically, the film follows 7 weeks in the life of the chorus as they're actually preparing these new songs for this very big concert show that they've got in front of 800 or 900 people in their hometown of Northampton, Massachusetts. And what actually happened was that the two chorus members did pass away in the week or 10 days or so before that show, and did so within a few days of each other, and it was a really obviously major shock. I mean, it would be very presumptuous of me to suggest it was more of a shock for me than it was for people who'd known these people very well, and I couldn't possibly suggest that. It was a very difficult time for all of us. It was difficult for us as film, and we were numbed. I mean, that's obviously never, I say obviously, that has never happened to me in 20 years of filmmaking before, and twice in the space of a few days. But I like to think anyway, that the intimacy that we felt with the chorus by that point, and we'd been around them for a long time. We'd been filming for several weeks. We had also met everybody in the chorus and been around for, you know, weeks before that too. Did make quite a massive difference, you know, and they enabled us to be places where we could get, in a sense, a very strong impression of just what that meant. I mean, these are people who are quite extraordinary because they go on in those situations. I mean, actually, Lyria, has, you have the best line, don't you?
Oh, well, I don't know.
I mean, you say something extraordinary at that point, really.
Well, it's true, because we're all very aware of our ages, and we know that it can happen to any one of us at any time. It doesn't make it any easier when it does happen for the rest of the surviving chorus, but we know it's there. And we've lived long enough and through so many things. I think it gives you a strength.
just like the film, the chorus has been going on forever and continues going on. So the film is just a snapshot of a period of time in the ongoing chorus. And I understand, in fact, at the end of the film, you find out that Eileen is one of the major characters in the film.
Yeah, she's the 93-year-old who sings The Clash. Great character.
Has passed away as well. So I'm interested in the chorus's feelings about being in this group. And Lyria, maybe you could talk a little bit about what's the most fun. Is it the performing, or what is the best thing about it for you?
Well, the whole thing is fun, but obviously performing and getting the responses that we get from the audience is just a big thrill. It's wonderful. I had never performed in my life before. So for me, it's doubly so, I think.
Bob, as a leader, what's your psychology of being a leader to get the best out of everybody? Or you just go with the flow? You're raising
Your
eyes.
I've been doing it for so long, I don't even think about it in those terms. You know, it's sort of you have to sort of know when to push and when to be persistent and when to back off. And I think I've learned how to do that. But you know, you never know whether you got it right all the time. But we're really always looking for that moment where something that just sounds sort of at one level takes this little leap. And rehearsal sometimes can be so much more fun than performance, because it's that moment where you first get something. And sometimes you never get it again. That's an amazing thing that happens, is we have things happen in rehearsal that we just wish we had a snapshot of, because, you know, they just don't happen again. So I feel lucky to be around it all the time, because, you know, it's the process that's really interesting.
Although, of course, you do get it in the film, don't you? Because there is that extraordinary moment in the film when Joe only briefly sings Life During Wartime, and that is an amazing moment, which is sort of captured. I mean, it's one of those moments, had there not been a camera, that would never exist anymore except in one's memory. And it's the only time he really did it, I think. And it was very special.
And you also get, that aside, you also in performances, the performance of Fix You, the Coldplay song, is amazingly poignant. And When you went to shoot this, you obviously wanted to capture the chorus and the performance, but in that one in particular, you also got to capture the audience and their reaction.
It's a very, very poignant song in the film, because it was supposed to be a duet, and it ends up not being a duet, but a solo, because Fred's partner is one of those two that actually pass away just a few days before the concert. But it was extraordinary. Fred has this incredible, just beautiful bass voice. And so you're hearing the Fix You song really in a very different way from the way it's normally heard. But more fundamentally than that, he's also, because he's a man who's been very ill in the past, he's had several heart attacks, and he also has to have an oxygen tank, which he carries around. He carries his oxygen tank onto the stage with him. And you get this amazing punctuation of the song Fix You with the sound of his breathing through the oxygen tank that kind of reverberates around the entire auditorium. And it's something which is just amazing to listen to. It is very moving.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired that you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse.
The Young at Heart chorus, this version of the Coldplay tune, Fix You. One of the very nature of the Young at Heart chorus is that there's going to be turnover in the group, and how do you recruit new members?
You know, we've been really lucky with that. You know, it's at times we actually go out and look for people, but mostly people find it, and pretty often it's the right people who find it. You know, it's not for everybody. You know, we've had great singers come to this thing thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I have a vehicle to work with here, and they just don't get that it's ensemble work. It's tough work. It's not the kind of thing that they're used to doing. They're going to be pushed in certain directions, and they just don't last. And then there's other people who can hardly open their mouth when they come. But there's something about their presence that's so interesting to us that they really work. And so it's it can be anything from bumping into somebody at the post office, as our tour manager and administrator did with the last person. She just saw somebody and said, "Hey, you know, you interested in coming and singing?" And 2 months later, she was on her way to Ireland. So,
but it's a big commitment, because I find my life revolved around the chorus. Anyone wanted to do something, I would say, okay, but not on Tuesday, because that's rehearsal day. So it is, it's a commitment of some weight.
Thank you all so much for being here, and thanks for the music and the capturing it on film, too, the Young at Heart Chorus. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.